Welcome to High Latitude Healthy. I'm your host, Dr. Eileen Karpfinger. If you live anywhere in the U.S. besides Hawaii, we have cutting-edge science to share with you that can improve your health. Here's to living high latitude healthy.
Hi, this is Dr. Eileen Karpfinger. Welcome to High Latitude Healthy. And I have with me today David Petroviak, and he's with ERT, which is Electroregenerative Therapy, which is a PEMF device that Nikola Tesla built, and he went into building it himself. And he's going to tell us all about the PEMF and what it is. And David, welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you.
You too. And could you start out with how you figured out what a PEMF is and how to make value of it, that it's your life now?
Sure. So many years ago, I my wife would correct me no matter what number I give. So I just wait for her to correct me and tell me what it is. But approximately 16, 17 years ago, I had a friend who had Asperger's extremely bad, but is an electrical kind of genius guy. And we were working on separate projects from this, but he had discovered this patent and built one in his garage, just kind of haphazardly. Called me and told me how it changed his body and improved things he'd been dealing with since he was very young. And it just sounded way too good to be true. And he said, it'll heal anything, it'll cure anything. And you know, we all know that you can't say cure, and that's kind of a goofy thing. And so... some months later, he traveled across the United States. I live in Idaho, and he stopped, as he often did, and did his usual thing where he'd ask my wife to make dinner. He'd ask to spend the night, do his laundry, and then borrow a bunch of money from me. And he brought the device in and said, oh, you know, I'm going to put this on you. I said, I have no interest. It was just oversold to the point where it was ridiculous. And so I didn't really have any interest, and I figured it was kind of a hoax. And so he put it on my back, and we ran it for 20 minutes, and it felt nice, but it was nothing groundbreaking. I got done. I got up and went to use the restroom, and my wife started using it. I went in the bathroom and I blew my nose. And when I blew my nose, I had way more lung capacity, volume, power. I blew my nose so hard it made my eyes hurt and kind of water. And I stood there thinking about it for a minute, and I thought, that's really interesting. Could that be a coincidence? And it could, but it had never happened like that before. So I went out in the other room, and this is the kind of guy you can't tell him you're excited or something's really exciting, because he had literally on a number of occasions kept me up until 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning with no sleep, talking all night long, very, very fast, to the point where your brain just sort of shuts down. So I went out and he said, well, what'd you notice? And I said, nothing. He said, okay. And my wife got done. She said, I love it. It feels so great. And I really enjoy it. And it's my belief that most women are far more in tune with their bodies and what's going on than men are. I don't know what causes that, just society or whatever, but it was that kind of thing. And so I kind of trusted that. And I sat down and he said, didn't you hurt your shoulder? I said, yeah. And I had a rotator cuff injury. I don't remember what kind of tear it was. It's been so many years ago, but for almost 9 years, I had 30% range of motion and could not lift my elbow even horizontal, about half that. And it would start to hurt really bad in the shoulder. And when I say hurt, I mean like somebody's driving a large nail through my shoulder. It was alarming. I'm a pretty tough guy. I've had lots of injuries over the years. I've been very active, motorcycle riding, motocross riding, racing various things, snow skiing, snowmobiling, all kinds of stuff like that. So I was interested. We put it on my shoulder, and 20 minutes later, he said, well, how's your shoulder? And I took it off, and I had noticed that what I was feeling from the machine was deep inside the shoulder, exactly where the injury had hurt. I hadn't felt anything in there in 9 years other than a little bit of pain. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I ended up using it for 20 minutes. I stood up and I was able to rotate my arm over, you know, in a windmill formation over my head and back down. And as I went over the top, right at the very top, there was a click and a pop, but no pain whatsoever. And I had full 100% range of mobility.
Wow.
Or 97, 8, 9%. And because I hadn't been able to reach up with that arm in almost 9 years, and I have a 5'2" wife who needs lots of stuff from up high, and I could only use my right arm. And so when it came to something heavy, I had to get a ladder and really manage it with one arm. And all of a sudden I had my life back, and I was so blown away. I just burst into tears and I cried for about 10 minutes and I couldn't stop. I couldn't believe that I was under the impression I would never have use of my left arm properly ever again. Mm. And so that kind of changed me. When I got done bawling, I said to him, wow, we have to make these, we have to build these and sell them to doctors and help people. This is amazing. You know, I went through physical therapy. I went to the surgeons. They all said it's contraindicated for surgery. If we do surgery, it won't get any better. It might get worse. And the physical therapist only made it hurt more. And in fact, I lost some range of motion from the irritation mm-hmm. of doing the physical therapy they had me do. So I was just blown away at a level I've never been blown away. And he looked at me when I said, you know, we've got to build these and sell them and help people. And he said, no, I'm retired. And he had recently been married, and that lady was from another country, and they were going back there. And he just said, no. Well, over the years, I had loaned him a rather substantial sum of money, you know, so many hundreds or a couple thousand at a time. And I said, no, we're building these. You got to leave one with me, and I want two I can sell. And I sold those in less than a week, went and demoed them for doctors and got their worst patient kind of thing, and the results were fantastic. Mm-hmm. But we built three, and then he went about his way. And for 2.5 years, all I did every week or every other week was repair those three machines, because he did things that didn't make sense. He put electrical contacts within a millimeter of each other and stuff like that. So over that time, I made 43 changes to the machine so that it would function and work and last longer. I started doing material science and working with people that work for various companies to make the materials I wanted. I had custom-made materials designed, went through a lot of iterations. And it after about 3.5 years total, I had a machine that I felt would last for 50 to 100 years that was the most closely designed to Tesla's actual patent. He called it the life force machine and claimed it's what kept him alive for the last 30 years of his life. And I believe that now, and I know why. Mm. So that became our business, and we starved almost to death trying to get it going, and got it going and found some good docs that loved us. And I don't know, we hadn't been in business for a couple of years, and somebody talked about us on some doctor forum somewhere, and suddenly I couldn't build the machines fast enough. That lasted for about 2.5 years, and then it was always referral business. We never once advertised until I met you at the Wisconsin Practors event. That was the first time we ever did any show of any kind, and business had been great. So that was sort of how I got into it. Does that answer the question?
Yes. Yeah, it does. And that's a good segue, because I want to tell our listeners how I met you and how I bought a machine, because you guys, this PEMF, which we'll get into what it is, but I've been looking for one for quite a while. And just, it's a confusing industry, because there's really light ones and there's really strong ones and there's really expensive ones and really inexpensive ones. And at the time that I met David at the Wisconsin Chiropractic Association's convention, I had a significant amount of feet pain that had not progressed in any positive manner for years. And it started when I got menopause, and the bottoms of my feet were so achy that I had to stop running. I had to stop playing soccer. I was in the slow pace soccer group there in Viroqua, and I had to quit. I was just so heartbroken. I was a telemark skier, and I had to stop doing that. I was a cross country skier, and I had to stop doing that. I basically just turned to mush because my feet were in so much pain. And I just thought, well, let me try this one. So David puts it on my low back, this machine, these pads of this machine, and I'm feeling my low back, kind of like David is with his shoulder, and I've never had low back pain. My back is fine, so I thought. And it was on my low back, and I said, well, it's my feet that hurt, and I understand that the nerves go down the feet, but I thought, you know, let's do some real serious work on my feet because my feet hurt. And at the time, he said, if we work on your feet, it's going to take 10 times longer than if we work on the root nerves that are where the nerves to the feet go from. So I trusted him, and I did a session, and I had a significant change in my feet with one day, and I was like, oh my gosh. So I came back the next day and I bought a machine, and it took a while for it to come to me. I had to tell my husband that I had bought this machine, that they're not cheap, and it was on its way out. And And you know, my husband Aaron is very supportive of anything that I could use that could get me back to health. And little by little, I found value for my own body tremendously, super fast. Little by little, all these different things were changing. And then I started using it on my patients. And we have two offices, one in California and one in Wisconsin, that we were using this for. And we are seeing tremendous results with our patients with this. And I just feel like everybody needs to know what PEMF is and the difference between the one you're making, David, and
sure.
some of what's out there. I have two PEMFs. I have yours, and I have something like a Beamer. Mm-hmm. It's called an EMT or something like that. It's a lot like a Beamer, but it has less radiation. And that's just a mat, and it doesn't do anything like what yours does. So I'm waiting for you to tell our listeners what all this stuff is.
Sure. So primarily, and remind me of your questions, we go through this, we'll talk about power. And power is a big debate amongst PEMF people, manufacturers, patients, everything. And there's really two schools of thought. One is high power is terrible, never use it, only use low power. That's the only thing that does any good. It's the only thing that works. And then the high power people say, oh no, low power does nothing or takes forever. High power is the only thing that'll make a difference, and you got to have high power. And I'm kind of that in-between thinker, and I thought, well, why don't I just put a dial on the machine so you can change the power from almost nothing to the most powerful machine on the planet? I don't quote our numbers, because every time I did that, the competitors would just change their websites and it became this thing. So ours is the most powerful. I won't quote the numbers. It's take it or leave it as what I say. But the fact of the matter is that you need all those, because each condition takes it, and each patient, in fact, depending on their health and their age and that kind of thing, they're going to take a different level of power. So we just built it so it was adjustable from almost nothing to many times a crazy, I'd have to do the math, but a crazy number of times stronger than the Beamer. There's no comparison. The Beamer is a great machine, mm-hmm. but I would say it's more of a health maintenance machine. Mm-hmm. It runs on battery and can do some number of treatments on one battery charge. Ours runs off of house voltage, 120 volts, and we step that down and step it up and do a lot of different things inside the machine. The machine we decided to build, we chose to follow Tesla's patent as closely as possible. His first machine was in a train car, because electronics, you know, what's this big now was 6 feet long back then.
Wow.
So his first was in a train car. Ours is in a carry-on size piece of luggage, a Pelican case, like so many of them are. And I'm actually working on a new form factor as we speak that just looks a little bit snazzier. That one was originally designed to travel with sports teams, and I accidentally sold a chiropractor, and business took off the chiropractor. So it's a very expensive change to form factor. I'm working on a new one now, and I'll sell both of them. But yeah, so that's kind of how that got it started.
Okay. And so let's talk to our listeners about who this helps. And so give me some stories.
Sure. So let me, I want to say something before we begin, because I don't want this to sound like some kind of hoax or whatever. And the truth is, I'll have doctors who will buy a machine and they'll say, well, what can I treat with this? And maybe they have some specific cases. Oftentimes it's a wife or husband of the chiropractor that they want it for,
mm-hmm.
Because they have something chronic that's kind of ruining their lives, and they're willing to spend the money. And they say, you know, I'll get it for that. And then they'll call me and say, well, will it help my patient with X, Y, or Z? And I say, yeah.
Yeah.
There's very few things it doesn't help with. And the reason why is not because it's magic and it does everything. That's not it at all. So what I really want to harp on a little bit is that what PEMF really does is it kind of supercharges your body to do its own healing, if that makes sense. So your body heals through a whole... Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, what does PEMF stand for?
Oh, sorry. PEMF stands for pulsed electromagnetic fields and frequencies.
Okay.
And so when you put our coil pad on, it goes over your clothes and stuff, and everyone's does, and it will pulse. Now, the lower powered ones, you don't feel. Very few people can feel them. And if you do feel it, it's really, really so soft. You're just sensing a frequency, really.
Mm-hmm.
Ours can be turned up high enough that it would bounce your shoulder pretty
yeah.
rapidly. And that's not ideal for everything. So again, we built it with the power dial so you could treat all kinds of conditions properly, because you don't want to treat a brain with high power. That would cause somebody pain or discomfort. It's not the way to do it. And there are things like neuropathy that have to have high power, or you just make no difference.
Right.
So our original machine was a certain power, and produced a 15,000 volt pulse. Non-injurious to the body. It's just an electromagnetic pulse that travels through the air. So you put the coils over, and I would turn it all the way up, and we had several women in their late 80s and early to mid 90s that had neuropathy that we saw at doctor's offices, and they said, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up. And I turned it up all the way, and they said, keep going. I said, that's all the power I've got. And after a handful of those, I looked at my wife and I said, it makes such a huge difference for neuropathy. I think we should double the power, because these people want more power and they love the way it feels. And so I went back to the design board and redesigned it for double the power. And now we make an immense difference really quickly for neuropathy.
Yeah.
And people love that.
Great. Okay. So let's have a story. Tell me about any of your people that you've helped.
Any kind of case in particular you want to hear about?
Let's talk about low back pain.
Okay. So low back pain is, if we're talking about sciatica, it's caused by that nerve being squished by the piriformis muscle. And there are so many causes. We spent 10 years talking about it, but the effect is the effect. And so the nerve is under the muscle tightens up and squeezes it against the pelvis, and that's where sciatic pain comes from. So the machine is gonna do a ton of things for the body. And one of the things it's gonna do is increase blood flow massively. Usually stiff muscles, tight muscles are lacking proper blood flow, and they get tight because of that and some other things. There's all sorts of things our muscles need: sodium, magnesium, potassium, all these different things, all these different reactions taking place in the tissue. So when we provide extra voltage to the tissue and through the PEMF pulse, and we're pulsing so it has a chance to get flexed and then relax, it's called forced cellular respiration. And that's like going and getting a manual massage from somebody, but it's on the electromagnetic level, which is the way your body operates. We're all electrical beings, and the way that we pronounce death is when there's no more electrical signal in the heart. Same with the brain. So we're going to enhance that with more voltage. We're going to change your pH, because as we raise cellular voltage, the pH goes up with it identically. Now, that was something I didn't learn until a few years into the business. But by doing those things, flushing a lot of blood through, causing more sodium pump, more mitochondrial function, we're going to change that state really quickly. We're going to supply the muscle with all the minerals and nutrients and everything it needs, plus give it more voltage. Now, Dr. James Ware, a real famous guy that actually lives close by and has become a real good friend of mine and has a machine, he taught me that to relax a muscle, it takes three times the voltage that it takes to contract or tighten the muscle. I never knew that. And when I started looking at the world through that lens, I saw that a lot of people were walking around in pain. And largely it's older people who are not as physically active, and that means less mitochondrial function, less voltage, and so on. So then we can see why the muscles would be tight. So with low back pain, we put it on somebody, we can do 15, 20, or 30 minutes. And usually, I'd say 90-something percent of the time, the patient stands up, and I say, if I'm there demoing, I say, hey, how does it feel? And they kind of look at me and they go, the same. I say, great, now do a little bending and twisting, but be slow, take it easy. And whichever direction they bend, they'll start to bend and they'll look at me and they'll say something like, oh my, holy moly, there's no more tension. I feel so relaxed, it doesn't hurt anymore. But the way that humans work is we have to feel and see that difference, or we just discount it.
Yeah.
And so they stand up, and of course, standing erect, if you don't have any problems standing, there's no pain. And even if there's pain in the back, you just kind of don't realize it until there's no pain and you start to move and flex, and everybody gets excited and goes, oh my gosh, can I bring my son, my daughter, my husband, wife, whatever. And then they want to bring somebody to use it, because everybody has issues.
No kidding. I've had that same experience with my patients. And for myself, I've noticed that when I was using the machine daily for a while, because my feet were so in so much pain, I don't have to use it daily anymore. I don't even have to use it weekly anymore.
Right.
But when I did, when I was in real trouble, it was a great way for me to climb out of injury. It was a great way for any of my patients to climb out of an injury, whether it's voluntary injury of surgery, so climbing out of surgery, climbing out of any injury from sports or from a car accident or anything like that, I've noticed that it's a great way to keep the body from seizing up, helping the blood flow, helping their neurological flow. And then I asked you in a text if you have any knowledge about the fascia and the PEMF. Do you have anything to say? I think in the end, I do think that the pain I had on my feet was a fascial. I thought it was vascular, but I didn't have diabetic neuropathy or anything like that. I didn't have any. I just had pain in my feet. I didn't have any numbness or anything like that. And so what I know now about fascia is that the bottoms of the feet have this tremendous strong fascia, and and it's not just physical, it's emotional. And we were going through, it was during the COVID times. Yep. And I didn't know, just like now, we don't know what end is up. And I think I was feeling the stress of things, and the bottoms of my feet were really taking that pain. And somehow your PEMF, yours specifically, because I've worked with other ones,
right,
was the thing that helped relax that.
Yeah, so the point of difference that you're getting between my machine and the others is that most of the machines on the market are very low power. Nothing wrong with that. It's just not how you heal real injuries, right? It's how you keep a body healthy. Mm-hmm. There's a number of them out there you can buy, you know, on Amazon or whatever, that are super low power. You can't feel them. You're supposed to put them on your bed and sleep with it on the bed, and all that's great as well. But our machine, one of the things I noticed right off when I got into PEMF was that the design that Tesla had was a sine wave. And a sine wave is a smooth climb, arch, and a smooth, it's just like the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem was that most people had tried to circumvent the expensive parts of the machine, and they are insanely expensive, and they went to what's called an avalanche transistor. And that's great, except that it doesn't harmonize the human body, and it produces what's called a square wave. The problem with a square wave is that in a millisecond, you go from no power to whatever power you have it set at for the pulse, and that's alarming and often causes issues with the body. Your body doesn't have any part of the mechanism that operates like that. Even if you take a heartbeat, everybody's seen the heartbeat on the screen on TV, and if you take that heartbeat and you stretch that graph out a little bit, it's more of a curve, right? It has a peak, but it goes up and arcs and comes down. There's no corner to it. It doesn't have a 90 degree change. So with square wave, it goes up and goes straight across, or if the circuitry is poor, and I'm not going to mention anybody, but there is a machine on the market that's more expensive than mine, and it'll go up to that point, which causes muscle spasm, and you can't adjust anything. And then it tapers up, so the spasm gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and it is excruciating. I've experienced it. So it tapers up, and then it drops off all at once. And you kind of go, whoa, because you were in so much pain, and then it will hit you again, but it doesn't, because of the way the machine's designed, it will not keep a normal time. So it might be 3 seconds between pulses, it might be a quarter of a second between pulses, it might be 5 or 6 seconds. And so you find yourself kind of anticipating this pain. And I was on it for about 4 minutes, and I looked at my friend who had rented it from the company to do a study versus my machine and theirs and some other stuff. And I said, get me off of this thing. And I was I was literally angry.
Yeah.
To kind of calm down, because it was so punishing and so so shocking to the body. And so long time ago when we were building the machine and I was trying to tune it the way I wanted, I did a mountain of research on muscle recovery time, cellular recovery time from electromagnetic pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a gazillion of them, and you got to find the right frequencies and whatnot. But you'll find out that there's a certain amount of time muscle tissue in the human body needs to recover from that pulse. And you need to give it that time to recover. Otherwise, it's kind of like trying to stand up and getting punched down. And then you try to stand up and you get punched down. If you could stand all the way up and you got punched, it might hurt, but you wouldn't necessarily be forced back into the seat. If your cells don't have enough time, so cellular respiration is where the cells kind of squeeze and then open back up. And if it doesn't have time to open back up fully and you hit it again, now you're causing a punishment to that cell. And the human body does not like that. And in the end, you might have a net improvement, but you're going to be sore and you're not going to want to do that therapy again, especially when the doctor's charging you for it. No, you know, kidding. Not a whole lot of people say, oh, I want to do that expensive therapy again, the one that was really painful. That's a really small percentage of the population.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we were talking about fascia.
Yep. So fascia is a different kind of tissue, right? And anybody who's done dissection knows that fascia is really tough stuff. The fascia is the envelope around your muscle, and it clings tightly to the muscle. And anybody who's had a sprain, a strain, anything like that knows what fascial adhesions are. And that's where the fascia gets damaged, and it's over the top of the muscle. And maybe the muscle gets damaged, and they heal together. And they're not supposed to do that. The muscle's supposed to be able to move freely under the fascia inside of that envelope, right? So those fascial adhesions become range limiting, they become painful, they cause a host of problems. Sometimes people will hold their leg, their hip, their foot, their knee wrong, and that'll cause a repetitive kind of micro injury that just gets worse and worse over time, and people can't understand why their leg or their hip or whatever hurts so bad. So that fascial adhesion is really key, and what we're doing is we're softening that fascia with voltage. It's your body charges up just like your phone. When you set it on something, you don't have to plug it in. Those pulses are going to charge up your body, and we can show that through a bunch of different ways, and we've got videos and that kind of stuff. But we're going to soften that and relax it, and people don't usually notice any pain. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. We've never been able to get inside the muscle and watch, but I think what happens is we soften the muscle and we soften the fascia, and they go back to their relaxed point, which is not where they are, obviously, because it's an adhesion. And when they relax, it just sort of tears away. I think because we're relaxing the tissue so much, it's all a guess on my part, but I think it allows it to pull away, and there's not a big tear, so there's not a lot of healing. There's no additional adhesion.
Right.
So then people get freedom of movement, relaxation, and the pain's gone.
There's a fluid that runs through fascia, and this is something, I think this is the uncharted territory that I think you need to look into, because you're going to realize a whole nother level of value that you didn't even know your machine was helping with. Because the fascia is microtubules and there's a fluid in there, hyaluronic acid actually, that passes through that.
Okay.
When the fluid is too dense, or it's even gone, it's totally unhydrated fascia, you're gonna see that tissue not work as well. So
sure.
Anytime you're under anesthesia or you're dead, your fascia doesn't hold the fluid anymore, but that fluid is passing nutrients through to the muscle and to the, so it's this amazing network that I'm actually getting more and more into as well, because the science is just there to show it now, that I think we're interfacing not just the muscle and the bone, but the fascia as well.
Oh,
and
for sure.
I think we're getting more hydration through the tissue into the through the fascia with your machine. It's only one of the ways, but I do think that's happening.
Yeah, I think you're probably dead on. And we have adapted a paper that we found that was written by a bunch of doctors about PEMF and how it works. And it goes into the deep scientific details. So if someone's a doctor, they can read that. And my wife is brilliant, has extremely high IQ. She took that kind of dry white paper, and it had graphs and illustrations, and she turned it into something a little more palatable for the average person. And it's available for free on our website under resources.
Oh, great. Good. Yeah. We'll share that on our show notes. That'll be good.
It's called Wired for Wellness.
Okay. Oh, wait, that's your website? It's called Wired?
That's the book that my wife wrote.
Oh, she wrote a book.
All this other information and kind of making it more palatable for average people.
Oh, great. Okay. So let's share some other ideas. Let's say somebody had a sprained ankle. Or tell me about a sports injury that you know about. Maybe somebody famous or something like that.
Dr. Bill Scalise out of Irwin, Pennsylvania, called me a number of times, wanted to get a machine to help his mother-in-law who was suffering. And I think, you know, if you're going car shop and you look for a Ford, somebody's going to tell you you're a dummy for not buying a Dodge, and somebody else can tell you you're a dummy for not buying a GMC. And everybody has an opinion. And I think Bill got kind of mired up in opinions about machines. And we talked for well over a year, it might have been 2.5 years, if memory serves. And he would call me and he'd say, I have one question. And I'd say, okay, what is it? And 2 hours later, we'd get off the phone. And he would say, I think I'm going to buy a machine. And then he wouldn't. And I totally understand that. So eventually I sold a machine just out of Chicago, and Bill's not far away. And he called me and said, you know, I think I want a machine again. And I said, okay. I said, listen, I'm going to deliver one in Chicago. So it really saved me a ton of money if I could just fly out there and deliver two. And he said, okay. Let me think about it. And then he called me back and said, I'm not going to do it yet. Some of that may have been financial too. And
sure.
And so he called me back the day before I left and said, bring me a machine. And I said, I don't really have enough time to drive or anything from where I'm at in Pennsylvania, from where I'm at in Chicago to Pennsylvania. And he said, please, please, please. So I said, okay. And I sat down with my wife and we went over time. And what we did was fly in get a rental car, drive straight to the doctor's office south of Chicago, deliver the machine, train for about 4 hours, go get a hotel. We got up at the crack of dawn. I think it was 5 a.m., left the hotel and drove. And the funniest part about this story is we'd been in Miami a week or two before that delivering a machine, and they have a lot of toll booths, and I didn't have a toll thing. So I set the maps for no tolls. So we're out in the middle of the country driving forever and ever and ever. And I looked at my wife and I said, this is odd. This is nothing like out west. And she said, yeah, I don't understand why we're out in the country. And I don't know, half an hour later, it dawned on me that we drove for about 3.5 hours more than we needed to because I forgot to change my phone back.
Yeah.
And so we arrived at Bill's first thing in the morning, trained for about 5 hours, hopped in the car and drove back to Chicago. And I think we got back in Chicago at like 2 a.m., got up, went to the airport, got on our plane, flew home.
Okay.
Bill called me. I'm sorry.
This is a sports guy that you're talking
about. Yep. So he's a sports med clinic. But interestingly enough, his daughters at the time, this was many, many years ago, were very high-level soccer players. I believe they both got big, like, full-ride scholarships. And Bill called me, I think it was a few weeks after he got the machine. It's been many years now. But he said to me, hey, my daughter just sprained her ankle. I'm at a tournament in Iowa. I mean, to drive from, and I knew one time he was in Miami, so they go great distances. These girls are really top-level athletes.
Yeah, all the... Mm-hmm.
And he said, she stepped in a hole and sprained her ankle. Will the machine help her? And I said, yeah. Do you have it? He said, yeah. I said, do you have power? He said, yeah. So I explained to him how to wrap the coils around his daughter's ankle and what power to set it at and when to turn it up and why. Always with the patient's comfort. You never need to hurt anybody with the machine to get an improvement. It's never uncomfortable. A lot of people will fall asleep on it because it is like a massage a lot of times.
Yeah.
And he called me back and he said, my daughter's doing great. There's a girl who just stepped in a hole and jammed her knee and it's swelling up. And he told me that his daughter's ankle was ballooning and he put the machine on her and he didn't tell me, he just said she's doing better. And he said, this other girl stepped in a hole and her knee's all messed up, it's swelling up. And I said, do it like this, very similar, but a little bit different because it's the knee. And the next day he called me, it was a Saturday, and then he called me on Sunday and he said, a girl had pulled her hamstring. Will it help with that? I said, sure. Do like this, totally different setup, totally different power. And I didn't hear from him. And I think I called him about 4 days later and I said, are you going to tell me what happened?
Yeah.
He said, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I called you. Bill's a really lively guy. I love him to death. And he said, my daughter's ankle ballooned up huge. He said, in 20 minutes on the machine, doing it the way you told me, her ankle was normal size when I unwrapped it and I couldn't believe it. He called me and he said, what did you put in this machine? Because it just can't be real. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so here's what it did. And he said, it was amazing. He said, she went back in and played.
Wow.
No pain.
And
I mean, that was the first one of those we'd ever had. So I was like, wow, that's incredible. I knew it would help. I didn't know if it would help that much. The second girl, he was able to get the swelling out of her knee. No pain. Got the tissue normal. Sent her back in and she played. And she was on the other team. And the next day it was a girl that had pulled her hammy and he said it fixed it. She was able to walk 100% normal, stretch, everything.
Wow.
But her game was over by the time she was off the machine, so she didn't get to play anymore. So that's the case of something like a sprained ankle. It will remove the edema from the tissue even while it's happening, immediately after the injury, and will calm all that down and massage that fluid back out of those tissues and make the ankle whole again. Now, I don't necessarily suggest that you have a severe sprain and go right back in and play again. But his daughter did, and he was okay with it, and it worked out for them.
Yep.
So that's an ankle, sprained ankle.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a story of my husband snowboarding, and he hit a tree, and his leg kind of wrapped around the tree. And a day later, he was like, something's up with my femur. He figured he broke his femur. He couldn't really tell, but...
Right.
And we've got... decent health insurance, but something we don't want to use unless we really have to. And so he didn't go get it checked to see if it was a fracture right away. But what he did was get on the PEMF. And so he got on the PEMF and he was feeling that it was kind of that ache that happens right where the bone is fractured. There's that weird ache.
I have personal experience.
Yep. And so he had that going on and we did that for about a week. And then he went back to California or something like that. I remember this. And it was 2 weeks. He was 2 weeks in with the PEMF. And then he went and got a upright MRI from a friend. One of our colleagues had it. And the guy's like, no, you don't have a fracture. And we're like, Yeah, he doesn't have a fracture anymore. Like
Right.
in 2 weeks' time, that injury was mended, which is pretty impressive.
I don't know if I've told you my same story. My wife wanted to ride dirt bikes, and she went and got trained and passed the road course and all that stuff. And we bought a couple of dirt bikes. And she had ridden when she was a little kid, but not in decades. And she did really good on the little road bike that they had her on. And I would take her out. We live in Boise, Idaho area, where there's desert, there's mountains, there's everything. And we were riding around the desert because it was spring and there was still snow in the mountains. And we went out a number of times. And then she said to me, "Hey, I don't want to ride in the desert anymore. It's kind of boring. Let's go to the mountains where it's beautiful." I said, "Well, okay, we don't know if the snow's melted off or not." We went up to a favorite place called Pilot's Peak, and we got on the road, and immediately, just right away, there was some snow on the road, and it's a dirt road. And I walked her motorcycle across it because riding uphill on snow can be almost impossible. And I said, "You know, we get around the south side of the mountain, it'll be clear." And it wasn't; it was worse. So we turned around and went back, and I said, "Do you want me to walk it across the snowfield for you again?" She said, "I think I've got it." And I don't know what happened. She kind of quit thinking about it. And we rode up, and I've been riding my whole life. There's not much I can't do on a dirt bike. And she went past me about 35 miles an hour, and I was probably 7 or 10. And I went, "Oh no." And I watched as she disappeared up ahead. And then right before she got back to the dirt, it was spring. So it was water, it was slush, and it was snow and ice. And the motorcycle just slipped out from underneath her.
Oh,
She
shoot.
was Superman on the snow
Oh.
at 35 miles an hour, hit the mud, and it ripped her right arm back real hard. And she heard a
Oh.
pop. And then she was in excruciating pain. Her name's Tracy. And I saw it and I caught up with her and jumped off. I said, "Are you okay?" And she never cries. I've seen her, you know, a little kid hit her in the face with a metal toy truck and she just grunted it out. She's tough. And she was crying. And I said, "Well, you probably tore a bunch of soft tissue. And, you know, the good news is we've got the ERT. The bad news is it's going to take a while to heal." So I loaded everything up and helped her in the truck. And we drove off to a place called DOC, Direct Orthopedic Care, that we have here. And the lady doctor took an x-ray and came back and said, "You broke the bone." And I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Yeah, you broke a third of the humerus off, and there's a 2 millimeter gap, and it was really clear on the x-ray." She said, "I have to push this back together, or it won't heal properly." And my wife said, "Okay." She said, "It's going to hurt." And my wife actually shed tears, which, again, she doesn't do. And they put her in an immobilizer, and they said, "You know, come back and see us." We were leaving for a 2 week business trip to California, and they said, "Come back in 10 days." So we got home, and she said, "I'm going to sleep on the machine." And she immediately put it on, and it took away the pain. And she slept with it on, and you don't have to have it over the exact injury, but somewhere close is best, but anywhere on the body works. And after 9 nights, we got up the 10th morning, and we went to DOC closer to our house. And the first thing they did was take an x-ray. And the doctor came in and he said, "Hey, good news, we were mistaken. You never had a break." And I talked to him. I said, "No, it was a break. It's 2 millimeter gap. You don't have to be a doctor to read that." And we kind of went back and forth. And I said, "Would you just look at the previous x-ray?" And he refused. And we kind of had a little discussion. Finally, he says, "Fine." And he pages back on the iPads or digital x-rays. And he said something I can't repeat, but holy moly, more or less. And he kind of looked at me, he looked at my wife, and he said, This isn't possible." And he's paging back and forth,
How many
looking at the
days later
x-rays.
was this?
I'm sorry?
How many days later was this?
It was 9 nights later, so
Yeah.
the 10th morning. And she was probably using the machine 6 or 7 hours a night. And we have other stories about that with older people and less time on the machine and whatnot. But so I said, "No, it's broken." He finally looked at it and was shocked and paged back and forth to make sure it was my wife, to make sure it was the right shoulder and not the left and so on. And then he just kind of stared at it for a minute. And I said, "So here's the answer." I said, "I build a PEMF device and my wife used it for 9 nights and that's what's caused it." And he just kind of looked at me and he said, "Yeah, whatever." And he said, "Okay, well, so her labrum, which is kind of a hot dog that goes over the shoulder from down low in front all the way across," he said, "that's torn. I'm going to have to operate on that." He's a surgeon. He said, "I'll put screws in it and whatnot and blah, 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 blah." And said, "Okay, well, our neighbor at home had the same surgery for the labrum and it caused her more problems than she had before." And she immediately said, "Don't do it, don't do it." And my wife looked at me and she said, "If it healed the bone in 9 nights, it'll heal the cartilage." And I said, that's not necessarily true. Bone and cartilage are two very different things. They heal two very different ways. And cartilage really doesn't heal all that much. Typically, it takes stem cells, exosomes, peptides, that kind of thing, and which we would have gotten. But she said, "Nah." She said, "If it healed the bone, it'll heal the labrum." And she slept on it. It was torn in the front, torn in the back, and a tiny bit on top was still attached. So it was where it should be. And she was an immobilizer, and it was excruciatingly painful for her. So she stayed in the immobilizer, and about 36 more nights, I think, she spent on the machine. And we went back in, and they took an X-ray, and they said, the labrum's fine. And my wife kind of smiled, looked at me like, ha-ha, dummy, I told you so.
Yeah.
The only thing she couldn't do was get her arm behind her back up high enough to undo her bra. So we went to a local guy at Jim Ware that we know, and Jim, in 15 minutes, gave her back 100% range of motion. She had 90 plus, and he got her up to 100%.
What is Jim?
All better.
What Jim, is Jim doing?
Sorry, Dr. James Ware.
But what does he do?
He's a chiro, but he has a whole bunch of other certifications. He's experimenting with ozone therapy as an injection. There's a doctor in Italy that does it, and he's kind of following his work, and he does a lot of great stuff. He's kind of the pinnacle in our area.
Nice. Okay. So we just did bone. We did sprains and strains. We did low back.
You
told me something
about
MS? On shoulder. What's that?
You want to talk about multiple sclerosis?
Yeah, let's do that.
So my wife's in the middle of writing a book with Lisa Nichols. She's writing a second book to follow that up. And she needed a sound guy, because recording on your iPhone or your laptop, even if you got a decent microphone, just you have echoes in your house, as I'm sure will show up on this. So she'd asked around, and a friend of hers said, oh, I went to school with this guy. You got to call him. His name's Jake. And she called Jake, and he has a whole studio, multiple six-figure studio set up in his house, and he does all kinds of professional sound work. I don't know what his exact title is, but I think it's probably sound engineer, audio engineer. And he came out and met us, and he was on a cane, and he's 43 years old and perfectly healthy otherwise looking. And I said, oh, what's going on? He said, I have MS. I was diagnosed, I can't remember, it was 7, 8, 9 years ago, something like that. And he'll slap me when he finds out I forgot the time, but really nice guy. And my wife said, you know, I think you ought to try our RERT. And he said, I'd love to try anything. And he did it 3 different times. He did 2 positions for 30 minutes each, so 1 hour each visit, and probably 2 weeks apart. And after the last one, he came out from my wife's office where they were doing some planning on her book and the audio and stuff. And he says, hey, Dave. And I said, what? We've got a long hallway. And I said, what? He said, come here. And I walked over the hallway, and he's walking with his cane up in his hand. And he's walking 90-something percent normal. And normally he has trouble balancing, and he certainly can't bend over or squat down. And as my wife passed him in the hallway, she walks fast, and she passed him. She dropped something, and she turned around to pick it up, and he said, no, 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 let me try. And he just held his cane. He squatted down. He picked up the paper and handed it to her, and it was shocking. So I asked him if he could do a testimonial, and he sent me one that I can provide to you. And it's in really good sound quality because he's a sound engineer, but he says, yeah, it's so much different what I could do. And because we love him and we want to help him, we're going to work a deal with him to trade for use of a machine so that we can get him as good as possible. We're excited to see if he's able to use the machine daily rather than once every 2 weeks.
No kidding.
What his results will be.
And he's how old?
I'm sorry?
How old is he?
43.
And that's
super nice guy.
And he had MS.
He has MS.
Okay. I'm used to women having mostly MS. ALS. You got anything for ALS?
Yeah. So this gentleman has passed away. His name is his name was Kirk. Real nice guy, rugby player, big, husky, tough guy. And he had some trauma in his life that I won't go into. Real heavy-duty emotional trauma, the kind that changes you. And after that, he just started to get sick a lot. And eventually, he started to lose control of some of his muscles, and he went to the doctors, and they diagnosed him with ALS. Mm. He immediately joined some nationwide group of ALS people and doctors that work with him, and started traveling all over to these conferences, and met a doctor, Dr. Brett Earle, who's an MD, really brilliant doctor out of Utah, wonderful human being. And they did injections. They did all these different things at these seminars, and some people got results and some people didn't. MS is still, to most docs and most of the world, a bit of a mystery. Multiple sclerosis are multiple hard spots on the brain, and they're not exactly sure what causes it. There are theories that it's parasites or bacteria, but nothing's been definitively found that I'm aware of. We treated Kirk, and I have videos of Kirk, and I said, say your name. And he says, my name is, he had bulbar, which means your tongue doesn't work. And he said he hated it because he sounds drunk, and people thought he was drunk in the middle of the day all the time, and it was frustrating. And after 30 minutes on the machine, I have a video, and I said, hey, this time I was not thinking. I said, just count to 10. And normally that would be 1, 2, 3. Right. And he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, almost as good as I'm doing. It was so close. And I was blown away, and he looked at me and he just got shocked and he started to cry. And he goes, I need to use this as much as possible. I said, you can come over anytime you want and use the machine. I even loaned him a machine for a period of time. But his condition progressed, and he sort of quit treatment. He didn't go to the doctors and didn't go to the places that he should have gone, and he just kind of did nothing. And about another 9 months later, he passed away. Really great guy.
Okay.
But I think the trauma in his life had affected him, and he wasn't so so great on living. I think he'd had enough of this life with the trouble he'd been through.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
He kind of.
How about ankylosing spondylitis?
I've had that several times. Had doctors call me, and I haven't seen it in person, but my docs tell me that once they use it on the patient, usually there's a result. It might be kind of small the first time. Rarely is it a big result like we get with low back, shoulders, that kind of stuff, hips, but they notice a difference. And the second, third, or fourth treatment, then there's a big leap. And pain goes away, they have full flexion, and they feel much better. And I haven't had anybody call me and tell me it went away, or meaning it came back and caused problems or any of that stuff.
I'm wondering if there's anyone that is using it as a way to stave off the progress, to make it where it's a slower growth, because what I'm noticing from my colleagues and patients with AS is that it just progresses and gets more severe. And if there's a way to slow that progress down and keep their quality of life for a longer period of time, that's what I'd like to see with your device.
That's exactly what was reported. And I need to call, I need to remember who those two docs are and call them. But if I remember right, I talked to one of them several times, and it sounded like the patient had gotten markedly better, maybe not 100%, but markedly better. And it was not only slowing down, it was reversing. In some conditions, we see people get 100% better. In a lot of conditions, it's 80, 90%. The machine's not a miracle. It's a great piece of equipment, does a lot of great stuff, and really helps people. But it's you know, I've had people say, what about cancer? What about this? What about that? It's not the cure. It will help you feel better. For Kirk, one of the things we did, it made him better, but he also slept better. He felt better. He functioned better. So even if you're going to decline and pass away, it will make your life much better during that time.
Yeah.
So if that's all it does, that's still a huge blessing.
Okay. So in my experience with my patients and with myself, I noticed that I put the pads on my back like you had to help my feet.
Right.
All of a sudden, my feet are feeling better. So is my low back. And I'm like, where else can I feel this? And I felt my trochanters on my femur, you know, where my hips meet the pelvic girdle, just for our guests. That was tight there. And so was the psoas, which I always tell my patients that there was a clinic in California called the PSOAS Clinic. And I was like, that's pretty brilliant, except for nobody knows how to spell PSOAS. But the reason it's brilliant is that the psoas is activated in any kind of injury. It is a muscle showing trauma in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, whenever there's anything going on in the low back, we often have to then put it on the front, and it lights up the psoas muscles, and it makes that relax eventually. I've had pelvic floor issues helped with this. There is a device out right now. It's kind of like a stool that women can sit on and put their yoni directly on that, and somehow it helps with prolapsed uterus.
It's actually for men and women.
Right.
And it is. So there's a doctor here locally, Dr. Carl Felt, who purchased my machine. He already had that one. That one's extremely expensive.
Yes.
They were at a health fair, and we were going to see some other friends, and we bumped into them and talked to him. That machine's interesting. It's a different kind of sensation. It is a PMF, but it's very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And it works like you're talking about on the pelvic floor. But it's a great machine. It gives a lot of people relief.
Tell me how we can use our machine to do that effect, though. Can we do that? Because I don't want to buy a $180,000 machine.
Right. It's incredibly expensive. So you're going to pull all four coils like you do when you're treating the body. in a specific spot, and you're going to sit on that, and you're going to center that right in your crotch,
yeah,
and you turn it up to a comfort level. Now, I'll warn you, we do a prostate therapy, and what'll happen for a lot of men, probably 65-75%, is about 12-14 minutes into it, they go, oh, I'm really hot, and they jump up, and they feel hot inside where the prostate is. They're not actually hot. What's happened is that prostate was not getting much blood flow at all for a long time, and it was choked off, and we've released that tightness in the tissue, and all of a sudden they're getting full blood flow, and it feels really hot.
Mm.
So jump up and kind of do a little dance and say, oh, I feel really hot, and it dissipates in about 5 seconds. And they go, whoa, why did it do that? Because you got more blood flow. But I've had men call me and say, I was begging for a drop at the toilet, and now I'm peeing like I'm 12 years old. Why didn't you tell me it would do it this well? And every patient's different. So I don't give expectations like that.
Mm-hmm.
But some people respond incredibly well, and some people respond okay. But we get big results like that. So you're gonna put that down there, and you're gonna sit on it and turn it up fairly low, but enough that there's some feeling down there, some sensation in the tissue, nothing uncomfortable. And you're gonna run it for 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
For women, that's gonna do a world of things for them, and oftentimes helps with vaginal issues as well, and vaginal pain. And then it's also going to cause so much blood to flow through that tissue that they're going to heal at a rate that's almost not believable. So if they have tearing or something like that, it's just, man, one or two sessions and they are 100% better, almost oftentimes overnight or in two nights. And so that's the same way you're going to treat that pelvic floor. And it's going to pulse that tissue. It's going to cause blood flow. It's going to cause mitochondrial function, everything that heals us, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the effects of PEMF, not just my machine, but everyone's that's higher power, is that it's going to break up, with ionic action, it's going to break up some of the water in the tissue, it's a small amount, and provide oxygen and hydrogen, both of which the body normally has to break water apart for to do healing. But those are both very important components in healing, and the machine does it for the body, so the body doesn't get so tired and wiped out. It's supplemented for the body and causes that. For the body, it's passive. And then people heal really quick, and they go, how is that possible? If you remember when you're young and you'd cut your finger and it was healed overnight or in 2 days, and you look at it and you could see where it was cut, but it was no longer cut, maybe it was a little tender, but that went away in a couple of days. That's what the machine does. We had Pamela McDougall, who gave us a testimonial. She was 2 weeks from turning 70. She was speed walking, fell and broke her wrist, and it was a distal radial fracture, which is incredibly painful. And from what the doctors say, you always have to take pain meds. She never took a single pain med. She called me, she got back from the hospital, and she said, hey, will you bring me a machine? We're friends. And I said, you bet. Ran a machine over, showed her how to use it. She was kind of emotionally distraught because she was 69, almost 70, mm-hmm. being 70, and she was worried about healing. And so she didn't quite gather it. We went back a week later and said, you're using it wrong, do it like this. And she said, oh, I knew I was doing something wrong. 2 weeks later, so a total of 3 weeks after she broke it, she went in and had a scan. And the doctor came in and he said, good news. They had to wait a week. I think they put her off a week because she was so swollen. Mm. The machine did away with the swelling in like 2 or 3 days, but the appointment was for 7 days. So when she went in at 3 weeks total, the doctors did a scan and they said, hey, good news, your arm is 100% healed. And she said, that's not possible. It was 3 weeks ago. And they said, no, you're mistaken. It had to be longer ago than that. 16-year-old athletic girls don't heal this fast.
Mm-hmm.
Pam's a very nice lady. She's a little bit of an athlete, but she's not in perfect shape by any stretch of the imagination. And so she called me and she said, hey, they told me I was healed. And I said, yeah, I would expect that we've seen that many, many times. And she said, well, they tried to cut my cast off and I wouldn't let them. She was afraid. So she waited another week. She went back in, they cut her cast off, and they said it's 100% healed. And she requested a brace. And in her testimonial, if you watch, you'll see the black brace as she raises her arm. But she was 100% healed at 70 years old in 3 weeks from that kind of break. I mean, that's pretty spectacular.
That is a big deal. Yeah.
And they said, you healed faster than an athletic 16-year-old girl.
Fantastic. So this show is called High Latitude Healthy, and it's about mitochondrial health. It's about circadian function, about sunlight, grounding, and darkness at night, and all the things that make us healthy even when it's winter time and you can do you can be healthy at higher latitudes.
Yeah.
You're in Idaho where you need that too. And
yep.
One thing that I want to make sure you know is that we only have a couple minutes left.
Sure.
That what your device is doing is like ultimate grounding. and it is mitochondrial lifting, right?
And, yes, massively.
And I'm just so impressed with what you've done.
Well,
I'm so thankful that your focus on making sure you're doing what Tesla designed specifically is what you're working with, because I've been looking at all of these other devices, and somehow when I finally came to you, I was like, okay, this is actually effective and it's working. So super thankful. And just one little morsel, you got any little morsel you want to share before I'm going to let our listeners know that we'll have show notes with testimonials and David's website and things like that. And then you can also talk to me.
So if PEMF doesn't help everything, I don't know what it doesn't help just yet. I mean, there are things, kidney stones and stuff like that. It's not gonna do anything for that. But we've had experiences and we've learned almost everything from our doctors. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a guy who builds the machine and understands a lot about how it works and helps people out. We've had doctors call us. We were early on, I probably had 9 or 12 machines out. We had a doctor, Lou Arendt, one of my favorite people on the planet, and he's since passed away, unfortunately, but what a wonderful person. And he called me and he said, hey, why didn't you tell me this cures migraines? And I said, hey, we don't cure anything. We don't make any claims like that. We don't do that. And he said, well, okay, we'll call it whatever. But he said, I have all these female patients, and it's, I think, as far as migraine sufferers, it's something like 93% female. And he said, I put them on the machine. I do the skull protocol, the headache protocol. And he said, I do it 1 to 5 times at 5 to 10 minutes total session time. And he said, they've never had a migraine since. And he said, he's in Miami. He was in South Miami. He said, Dave, we're talking about women who get migraines so bad that they have to curl up in a ball in a closet for 3 days. And then they just cry the whole time because they're in so much pain. He said, gone. And he said, these are women who experience them several times a month, and they're gone. And it's been 6-8 months since I treated the first lady, and they've never come back.
Fantastic.
I said, great. We're not going to make that a crazy story, but we've experienced so many benefits from the machine, digestive issues, just things you'd never think of. Neuropathy is one of the biggest ones, and the machine does wonders for neuropathy.
Well, fantastic. Okay, we're out of time, and I think we have to have you on again for more stories and more anecdotes. David, it's a pleasure, and I look forward to that. And listeners, we'll share all that information in the show notes. So thanks for listening to High Latitude Healthy. I'm Dr. Eileen Karpfinger, and I have David Petroviak on here. Bye, everybody.
You. Have a great day.
High Latitude Healthy and all the show notes can be found at wdrt.org, and as well on Spotify, YouTube, and on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Find us and follow us to keep up with our interviews, and if you'd like to email Dr. Eileen, email her at highlatitudehealthy@gmail.com. Here's to living High Latitude Healthy.